Hey guys, how you doing? Welcome to another episode of Bikini and the Brain. I'm joined with my lovely co-host, number three in the world, and the all-time, tied for the all-time most winning pro in the history of the sport. Small intro, Ashley Kotwasser.
Hi everyone, hello. I love that intro, thank you.
That was a good one, I just thought of it off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's really good.
Easier for me to say it than it was for you to do it.
Yeah, true.
So, I'm a little coffee today, guys, so sorry about that. But we have a good podcast for you today, and it's perfect timing because Ashley will be leaving here soon.
Yes, in fact, by the time you guys listen to this, I'll probably be across the pond already.
Yeah, you will be.
Yeah, so I got this big trip coming up, you know, my European seminar tour. But not only am I giving seminars while I'm in Europe, but I'll also be competing too. And I want to give you guys a little rundown of my plan, okay? Because some of it's tentative depending on how things go, right? So basically, November 10th, I will be leaving. Might be past the 10th by now. But I'll be leaving and I'll be heading to Romania. So I leave on a Wednesday. And then I'll land like a Thursday night because of the time change. And then I compete on a Sunday. So before I do any seminars, I'm competing in Romania because I'm like, you know what? If I'm doing all these seminars, might as well just like compete while I'm in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
And take advantage of these international shows because I don't think there's very many Americans competing overseas now. Because it's hard. I'm not going to lie. It's hard. You know, with all the restrictions and all the tests you have to do and paperwork, it's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot. If you think it was a lot before, whoa, now is like, geez. So it's a big hassle. So I'm pretty sure I'm probably going to be the only American competing in Romania, but that's okay. I'll take it. But I'm competing in Romania. And then after Romania, I'll be going to the UK for about like a week and a half. And I'll be hitting five cities in UK.
That'd be fun.
Yes. And
that'd be hard.
Yeah. And then I'll be heading to Spain to compete. Now, between Romania and Spain, we have a 2-week gap. But I'll be doing like the seminars and stuff. And then after Spain, I'm heading to Ohio to visit the family. And I did that because, you know, I'm going to be arriving in on the East Coast anyway. So I'm like, I don't want to. If it's 4 hours off my flight time, I'll do it. You know what I mean? But I'm going to be visiting my family in Ohio. And I was like, well, you know what? If I just drove 4 hours from Akron, Ohio to Toronto, you know, I could compete in the Toronto Pro because it's less than a week after, it's like 6 days after Spain. And that's going to be dependent on how well I'm able to maintain overseas. And that's kind of what we're going to talk about, you know, things to navigate and things to prepare for and to think about. And then after Toronto, I might do Georgia too. Since I'm on the East Coast anyway, I'm like, well, you know what? If I just did Toronto and then like right below Toronto, you know, if you go down far enough is Georgia. So, and that's a week later. So why don't, you know, maybe I'll do that too. And that's the last show of the year that I could possibly compete in because the only other show this year would be the Vancouver Pro, but it's only Master, so I can't compete in that show. So that would be my last chance to get another W maybe. So
yeah.
That's my plan. So just to recap, Romania and Spain are for sure. Already signed the contract, ready to go. Tanning's booked. Everything's booked. Toronto, Georgia, maybe, depending on how I'm able to maintain overseas.
So how many weeks would that be if you did all of them? Is it a show every weekend?
Except for the gap between Romania and Spain is 2 weeks.
Okay.
But the after I get to Spain, it's week to week to week.
Yeah, 3 weeks. And so that's generally the issue when you're doing a lot of shows in a row, mm-hmm. is making sure you can keep your muscle fullness. You can keep it in, because you're not. The problem is when you're competing from show to show too. You're not working out a lot.
Yeah.
You know, especially because the last week before a show, you're not like pushing crazy, crazy hard. You're trying to like reduce inflammation, and then the last like 2 days before the show, you're not working out sometimes at all.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to lose literally days. Because I'm traveling. Like,
yeah.
My flight, for example, my flight from here to Romania is like a 20-hour trip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, depending on when I land, you know, if I land at like midnight in a certain city, I can't, it's not like I can do anything.
So with you guys competing and with you guys, this kind of, I think, is a good episode for everyone who travels and for people who want to compete in different places. And if maybe you ever want to have a crazy schedule like this, or if you are just trying to do nationals and you have to be in, like if you're going to like Florida for nationals, I always say get there a little bit early. So just in case there's any water retention issues. You know, we've ran into quite a few of those on the East Coast this year. So
yeah, like humid areas.
Humid areas.
Yeah. Because we live in the driest state, probably.
Yeah.
Don't quote me, but it's one of the driest states. So anytime you go to like one of these humid states like Florida, it's like you automatically just like suck up the water. But your skin feels nice. It feels like you wear lotion, but you didn't put any on. But yeah. So but you know, not only just people competing, but this is gonna be a very helpful episode for people that's trying to just stay in shape or maintain or are prepping. Because I see a lot of people, you know, they'll even go on vacation and go through a prep, right?
Yeah.
And there's ways you definitely can do it, but you got to be prepared.
Yeah. So this one is for all you guys who are traveling, needing little tips, the things that Ashley's learned along the way and whatnot too. So go ahead and get started with it. Obviously, the hardest part is always going to be, I think the hardest part these days, back in the days when people would travel, when I was first prepping and people would go like overseas and stuff to do shows, it was actually, they had a hard time finding gyms. Like you had to like know someone in some of these areas that had a gym type of thing. Now they're kind of everywhere, right? It's not too big of a thing. Mm-hmm. They're in all the hotels, they're everything, you know, right? Mm-hmm. So, but now it's food, you know? And I find that different areas, people have a really hard time with like European areas, like Italy and things like that, where you don't have the same type of breakdown of food portions that they do in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much protein. It's more fattier proteins than it is lean proteins.
Like or things salty. Like that.
Yeah.
And when I went to Sweden, all their meats were salted.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so how do you get around that? What are your tips for the food, and how is that all?
So there's going to be a big difference between international travel and domestic. If it's domestic travel, this is what I would do. I would pack food for a few days, like 2 or 3 days. I wouldn't say pack food for an entire week, because if we're honest, you know, sometimes those hotel fridges, they don't hold up quite like a real fridge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they're meant for just cooling beverages. So I wouldn't push more than like 3 days. But freeze everything. And also what I like to do is, you know, I'll just get like a cheap cooler or an insulated bag or something. Put all my food in plastic baggies, Ziploc, already portioned out, already weighed out. And then freeze it with ice cooler bags. Or you can also do water bottles or tea bottles or your favorite beverage that isn't carbonated. And what that can do is it acts as like a big ice cube. And then when you land, you have something to drink. Hey, it's like you're getting some more use out of it. Because sometimes, you know, that's another thing is like when you land, you're probably dehydrated and stuff. And you don't want to take the $8 water bottle from the hotel, right?
Yeah.
The one that charges you. So if you're flying domestically, it should be rather easy. And also, you can also do a meal prep service like Trifecta. You can order your food to get shipped to your hotel room, which is nice and convenient as long as you have a place to store it. So make sure your hotel has a mini fridge, you know?
Yeah.
And let me tell you about the most handy thing that you could use for travel. It's called a Hot Logic Mini, and basically it's like a portable lunchbox that you can plug in anywhere, and it like heats up your food. So you can even use it like on an airplane and everything, so you don't have to eat your food frozen, because, you know, at hotels, sometimes the microwaves are not in use or not available to the athletes, or maybe they're on a certain floor but you don't want to go down there 6 times a day. So I usually just bring the Hot Logic Mini, or I will bring like a miniature George Foreman grill, or even my little mini skillet thing that holds like 1 cup of food. I think that is, it's such a cute little thing. But yeah, all these products are handy. But if you are heating it up in something like the mini George Foreman grill or the mini skillet thing, just make sure that you are heating it up in the bathroom. And I know that sounds so silly, because it's kind of like, why would you cook food in the bathroom? Well, here is why. Basically, there are smoke alarms in the hotel room except for the bathroom, because
The shower creates steam, so it'd be silly to put a smoke alarm in the bathroom. So you do not want to set off a smoke alarm and have the entire hotel evacuate. So you might just want to do it in the bathroom. Just be careful of things. But yeah, I found that that's a super handy thing to have while traveling. So I will usually just bring one of those three items so that I can have some nice warm food rather than frozen gross food.
One of the things that I've found too that's really helpful when people are traveling, people always underestimate like the quality of food that you're going to get from different places. But I find Chinese food places being the easiest place to get food at. And a lot of people underestimate, like, what do you mean Chinese food? They do steamed chicken and steamed rice and steamed veggies like all the time.
Yeah, you just say no sauce or sauce on side.
No sauce. And they do steamed chicken, which is, and it's actually pretty good. So when people like are like, oh, there's nowhere, I'm like, dude, just look, Google Chinese food near you, and there's going to be 20 places, you know, that you can go to and be like, hey, do you have steamed chicken? And then you just get steamed chicken and veggies, and that's like an easy way of doing it too. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times too, I'll tell people, hey, if you don't have your own food, or maybe you're there for, you're past the time frame, maybe you're there for like 5 days, and you didn't have enough, like you had to get new food at day five or whatever. I just say, go to a grocery store and get the rotisserie chicken, get the breast of it.
Yeah.
And then again, Chinese food place and get the rice, you know, and it's pretty simple to make it work there too.
Absolutely.
So that's really helpful in the US at least.
Oh yeah, definitely. But when we're talking about international, that's when things get a little dicey. Because here's the thing, I actually know of someone who got fined for bringing in meats and produce.
Really?
Like their prep stuff. They were a competitor. Yeah. So it's the thing. It's a definitely a thing.
That's crazy.
And the thing, because it's, you can't bring in, would you like meat and produce coming in from other countries? I don't know. That could be a disease waiting to happen.
Yeah, these days, I don't want anything coming from other countries. Tried to shut my gym down last year because someone bringing in some chicken breasts. Oh, you just keep your chicken breasts. I'm done with this.
Oh, yes. But customs will check for it. And it's kind of like you could get away with it, but then again, there's a chance you couldn't. And and the way I think of it is, like, not only would you get fined, which is probably like, I don't know, a few $100s, but you'd probably have to sit in some sort of room and fill up paperwork, and it's just like a hassle, right? So when you land, you have to fill out like this form saying, I am not bringing in any meat or produce or stuff. Although I kind of, and I'll get to it in just a second, that gets a little blurry in some, with some of those rules, right? And what I mean by that is, what about prepackaged stuff, right? So that's when I would say bring some non-perishable items with you, okay? So for example, I wrote them down. Some good, healthy, you know, items that you can bring with you to have on the plane or even when you land, just to get you over till you can go to a grocery store. Things like beef jerky. Now with beef jerky, a lot of times beef jerky will have sugar in it, but the biltong, I think is called, it's like another version of beef jerky. It doesn't have sugar. So look for like a sugar-free or biltong beef jerky. And that can be a great replacement for like meat. So if like, you know, I'm bringing some with me because I'm going to be flying for like 20 hours. So I don't know how long my chicken's going to stay good because you can bring food with you on the plane, but it's when you land is when you can't have produce in your possession or meats in your possession. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So on the plane ride, you can have that, or you should anyway. So if you want to buy a salad or something at the airport, you can do that too. But beef jerky is nice to have because there's your meat. I know it kind of does suck because of the salt content in it, but hey, you got to do what you got to do, right? You can bring protein powder or bars. I would say protein powder is a little iffy when you travel internationally. I find that anytime you have like a powdery substance, it gets a little suspicious to them. Sometimes you'll get like pulled over and tested with the thing. It's like, just bring a protein bar, I guess. Kale chips. You can bring like those, I don't want to say like canned vegetables, but they make now like bagged vegetables that are kind of like meant to be like canned vegetables, but they're in a bag now. And you can bring that. Again, that's like produce, so that's like a blurred area. I'm still going to bring some of those just in case. But they have like in packages, like I have rice cauliflower, for example, these packages of rice cauliflower that you just put in the microwave and it's good. It's non-perishable. So that's good. I mean, I'm bringing that in. Hopefully it's not an issue because it is technically produce, but it's already bagged. So the individual packs of nut butter. No, you cannot bring peanut butter in your carry-on, just so you know. If you're going to go on a plane, bring the individual packs, which I like to do that anyway because it's like portion control, because we know how nut butter is with some people.
Yeah.
It can get, you know, it can get pretty bad.
Yeah.
You know, it's very calorie dense, so be careful. Edamame is great. For those of you who like fish, you can do like the canned or bagged tuna. That is not me. They even make chicken too, but even that kind of grosses me out. I'm super picky, so I wish I could do that. I can't, but most people can. Rice cakes, protein chips, sugar-free gum, sugar, or and also drink packets, like the Crystal Light packets too. I mean, depending on how close you are to a show, but even if you're just going on regular vacation, those are nice to have. And it kind of gives you that incentive to keep hydrated because you're more likely to drink if it tastes nice, right? Which is another thing about dehydration. When we're traveling, especially on planes, you got to be hydrated AF,
yeah.
Adam. Hydrated AF.
I like the Mio water flavors. That's how I can get my, my liquid in.
Those can explode on the plane, so be careful.
Oh, yeah?
Sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah, depending. Just make sure it's closed all the way.
So, and I use, I do the, like when I'm traveling to like your shows and stuff, I'll do the tuna packets. I started getting into those the last trip. So, but there's like different flavors. Some of the flavors I can't stand. And then there's like some, like the, there's like a barbecue and then there's like a buffalo sauce. And those ones are really good. So for the tuna packets, maybe that'll help.
Yes.
Other than that, just rice cakes for me. And then it just, I do a lot of the, if I land, I just do the grocery store run usually. Mm-hmm. But
you usually go out to have something healthy, though.
No, I like to eat out because when I'm there, I'm not doing much, you know.
Yeah.
So all I do when I do my check-ins, I work out, I go to your show, maybe go to your check-in, and then like you're just kind of sitting there the rest of the day.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's not your town, so and you just go putt around town.
Yeah, and that's something to be said. You can still eat healthy even though you're eating at a restaurant. I know you mentioned the Chinese food hack.
Yeah.
But what other, I guess, tips do you have for people that are like, yeah, I mean, I just landed, the grocery stores are closed or they're not closed, but I want to go out to eat or maybe make the most of my vacation, but they still want to eat healthy. How would you suggest they do or what things to avoid?
I guess I'm pretty good at that because I'm always doing that, you know, with traveling around. So unfortunately, you pretty much just got to completely avoid Italian restaurants. There's like, there's very little there, very little there. Besides the chicken salad, there's really not much you can do there. Occasionally, there'll be like a, there's occasion, like there was one in Littleton, Colorado, they had this Italian restaurant that had, actually had the zucchini spaghetti, like made out of zucchini.
Oh, that's cool.
It was cool. So it was nice to be able to go there, you know, but there's, it's very far, few and far in between places that actually have that. It's just so calorie dense. So, but a lot of the Latin places, they're usually pretty good, like Brazilian, Mexican, Colombian restaurants, like they usually are grilled chicken. That's like a very common thing, grilled food, grilled meats. And then they have white rices, black beans. Like, it's pretty healthy if you don't go crazy. You can go really bad there, too. You know, you do chips and salsa and all this stuff. But
and plantains. Yeah. Fried plantains.
Fried plantains.
So good.
Yeah, but they that's for the most part, if you go there, you can have quite a bit of the options there, you know, because a lot of it's just grilled meats, you know. So I do really good with that. And then if I go to, like, a burger place, I usually, like, visit a burger place, and that's probably when I go, like, once a week I'll have, like, a burger. It's like my cheat once weekly. And even that's not that bad. Like if you look at it, it's like the burger itself, in terms of like it being a protein, you know, the burger itself uses like 25 grams of protein with like how big they are. The fat content's high. It's like 18. So you just got to be smart. And then I don't get anything extra on it. It's always just ketchup, mustard, and the veggies. And you save my fats for that meal. And then, you know, I have a bun, usually gluten-free. But yeah, so there's ways of doing it where you could just go to a bunch of different restaurants, see your local town, put around town, sushi, you know, as well, and really have no issues with staying
right.
healthy. I think people overthink it way too much.
Yeah, and they'll bring scales with them, which I've never done. I don't weigh my food when I eat out. I think, you know, depending on how close you are to a show, I guess it also something to consider. But if you're just going on vacation, I think if you've been doing this for a while, you can get a pretty good idea of what 4 ounces of chicken looks like, you know, or 3 ounces of steak or whatever. So I don't think like it's necessary to like bring a scale with you to the restaurant. I think that looks just, it's a bit much. It's like, oh God, it's a bit much here.
Yeah, I think for the most part, I mean, the thing when you're talking about weighing like the proteins and stuff at a restaurant with like the portions there, the problem is you really can't do much besides take it away. like you can ask for 1 ounce extra or something, you know what I mean? So it's kind of like you're kind of stuck with what you're stuck with anyway. Mm-hmm. So,
we've had like lunch and stuff, and I noticed like, whoa, I have too much protein here, and I gave you some.
That's true. That's funny. So as far as anything else travel goes, like how are you going to get around the gym situation, your workout situation? Obviously, when you're here, you have everything kind of in your bubble, mm-hmm. you know, and you get a workout with Sam, you get to work out hard here. How do you maintain finding gyms, intensities, all that?
Sure. I would just like to backtrack a little bit with the restaurant thing because I had something to add there. So also with the restaurant too, if you are going out to eat, maybe it's a good idea to say hold the oil because sometimes they do oil the vegetables and stuff like that. And then also I like to always say dressing on side or condiments on side, or you can even bring your own condiments such as those little individual packs of Walden Farms salad dressing. That way you know what that salad dressing is, because sometimes if you just ask for a chicken salad, they're gonna already put it on, and you know, it becomes a hassle. So I would just say ask for everything on side and hold the oil if they do oil their vegetables or whatever. So, but as far as the training is concerned,
while you're on that, you gotta tell them your hack, your dressing hack.
Oh yeah, if there is no dressing available, I like to just take mustard off the table and then add stevia with it, and it becomes honey mustard. Yeah,
it's like zero calorie honey mustard dressing.
Yeah,
it's so smart.
Definitely. And even if you had, I don't know if there's a vinegar at the table too, you can make it like a vinaigrette, a honey mustard vinaigrette kind of thing. So yeah, there's ways around it. You just got to be smart and you got to be prepared. I mean, I bought on Amazon all these like low fat Italian dressing packets, and it's like, that's good because I know what's in it. It's not, you know, I can't go overboard with it. So yeah, it's good. So as far as like the training, that is probably my biggest concern about doing my tour, right? Being out of my element, I think that if I were to take a guess, I'll probably eat less while I'm over there because I'm going to be so busy. I'm going to be on my feet and I'm not going to have like snacks just laying around, right? I think I'll eat less. I think my calorie consumption will be less, but I think my workouts will be less intense because one, jet lag. You know, it can definitely mess with you, and lack of sleep, you know, can make your mood crappy. And if you have a crappy mood, you're probably not motivated. If you're not motivated, you're probably not pushing it as hard. Also, I don't know exactly how easy it is to access the gyms and stuff. So that is going to be an issue, but I think like once I get there, just and check into the hotel, I'll check out their fitness center. Cause I'm kind of like the opposite of you. I'm not like a connoisseur of gyms, right? You give me a small room with some dumbbells at a hotel, like a hotel gym, one of those crappy ones, I'm fine. But you are a connoisseur of the gyms.
I'm not a fan of the hotel gyms.
I'm fine. I mean, but then again, you lift more than me, so.
Yeah, you know. but it's just more about the traveling experience. You never know what you're going to find, you know, and that's one of the things I've found in like that's one of the coolest things about traveling so much is finding cool gyms and finding cool pieces of equipment and just finding like the new ranking order of your top gyms. Mm. I have like this ongoing, always evolving ranking order of like my favorite gyms. And so it's one of my my passions is like that. That's one of my things, you know, I want to find every cool gym and go to every cool gym in the U.S. and then around the world too. And then find like all these little hidden spots, you know? But you know, my ranking order of gyms really hasn't changed that much. That one gym in Atlanta.
Just prep center first. What's second?
So you know what? That one gym in Atlanta, it was called like Crazy House. I think it was a weird name. It was like Crazy House or Madhouse gym. It was at the Atlanta gym, but it wasn't in Atlanta. It's like really close to Atlanta, that gym.
If I compete there, you can go to that gym again.
Yeah. And it had, it wasn't even like, it wasn't the gym itself. The gym itself, it was like, is like, there's not like great energy there because it's so big. It's like, it's like too big. It's so big. But it has 500 pieces of equipment. 500. And the guy who owns it, he's just a total, you probably want to call him like an equipment snob, you know? Like, he like is, how I like finding different gyms and how I like being a perfectionist with like my stuff, he's like that with equipment. And like he has to have the best equipment, has to have every piece, and he's like it's like a hobby of his to locate pieces that you can't find. And like he has all this really, really old stuff and all this really new stuff. And like if you grew up like I did, like lifting weights since I was really young, you saw all the equipment that he has. So he has all this really old stuff, and there's like some machines that are like that are there, and you're like, oh man, I remember this machine. This is like the best machine for leg extensions, mm-hmm. right? And he has it. And he's like, oh, I remember this machine is like the best for like, and he has like six of them. It's crazy. He had like just as an example of how excessive it is. He had like, I don't know, probably like eight dip machines. Like who has eight dips in one gym? Like, so the gym is awesome because you're never going to have to worry about a machine. What's really funny is Paul Ravella, he was there at the gym and I didn't know it was him. He was like wearing a hat, he had headphones on. And he was just trying to be funny. And I was like on a chest press. And there's like 10 chest press, like the same machine. And then he's like off to the side of me. And he's like, hey, how many sets you got left? And I was like, seriously, guy? Like there's 10 of the same machine like right next to me. You know? I didn't say it, but I was like, oh, like I just was thinking it. I was like, three more, dude, like three. And it was Paul. I was cracking up. After I realized it was him, and he's like, "Dude, I'm messing with you. There's like 10 chest presses." And then, like, I saw it was him. It was the funniest thing. Yeah, that gym is pretty awesome. And then Metroflex Long Beach is always going to be one of my favorites, just because of the like the energy of that gym. Mm-hmm. So, but that if you're ever in that Georgia area, like you want to get a good workout in, that place is this. You're never going to run into any issues with supersetting machines. You're never going to run into any issues with the gym being too busy. There's just too much equipment for it to be busy, you know.
Well, that makes me want to compete there even more because I want to make sure that you get a good workout at the good gym in Georgia.
Yeah, that gym is cool. They have
it's motivation for me.
Really weird, like equipment there. Like you would look at it, and some of the stuff you wouldn't know how to use it because it's like so old, you know. And then they have like brand new stuff, and then they have mm-hmm. all this in between stuff, and they have machines there that most gyms, like my gym, I couldn't have some of these machines because they're so big. Like there's a couple pieces that are like. Could fill up this room almost, like maybe half the room. And but they're just like, they work and they're great. So it's just kind of cool. It's just different. It's like going back in time and then having just everything available.
He's like a collector.
That's what he is. Yeah. Yeah. He's a collector of equipment. Yeah. That's what I would say he is.
Awesome. So, yeah. Yeah. You know, I think like it's always nice to have like a travel buddy. I mean, most people do travel with someone, which I have a travel buddy, Kara from Angels. Is going to be my replacement pageant mom since you can't come. But, you know, it's good to have conversation with your travel buddy. Like, hey, keep me accountable. Hey, let's work out every morning, you know. That way, if you kind of put it out there and you let your travel person know, hey, they can make it happen for you too. Even if you're not feeling like it, it's kind of like they can at least hold you accountable and be like, no, Ashley, we're going now. So I find that that's super helpful. And if you're traveling with your family, just let them know, hey, I still got to work out. I'm going to work out in the morning or whatever. Which another point is, I would recommend everyone working out first thing. That way you get out of the way. You can enjoy the rest of your day for your vacation or whatever, or walking around to travel, you know, what you're there for, right? So I would suggest obviously getting it done ASAP when you wake up. And yeah. I think another thing that people don't realize when it comes to like cardio, if depending on what you're traveling for, if you're traveling to go sightseeing and to enjoy yourself on vacation, you might find yourself walking around a lot, which is a great form of NEAT, okay? And Adam can explain it better than me, what NEAT is and why it is beneficial for your fitness.
Yeah, for sure. And then while you were talking, I looked up the gym just to give them a shout out. Madhouse, it's called Madhouse Gym Georgia on Instagram, and they are in Mableton. So really, really cool. Just a totally different, you're just basically working out in some guy's giant collection of equipment, which is really, really cool. I like that he's like a nerd about it, you know, like mm-hmm. he's like, just wants all the pieces of equipment. And so anyway, shout out to them because they actually treated me really well when I was out there. They didn't even charge me to work out there. So anyway, yeah, NEAT. NEAT's kind of a cool thing. So NEAT is called, so it's NEAT, but it's non-exercise activity induced thermogenesis, right? So basically means you're burning calories from not exercising. So anything like vacuuming the rugs, sweeping the floors, walking around town, going to the mall, that's your NEAT. And so that's something that you should always be kind of keeping account on too. So like seeing your steps when you're in prep and whatnot as well. And it's actually funny because they've actually found that when people get like do a lot of exercise, like a ton of exercise, their body will get kind of tired, and you'll have the same net meat at the end of the day from people who were just dieting regularly mm-hmm. and not exercising excessively, who would actually end up having more. Mm. It's kind of crazy. There was a couple things like that. So basically what they're saying is, if you gave someone, let's say, an hour and a half of cardio a day, and you gave them, and they're on a hard diet, and you gave them an hour and a half of cardio a day, well, that person, they kind of don't do anything else besides that hour and a half of cardio a day. And so their total NEAT at the end of the day ends up being the same had they have done just 30 minutes of cardio a day, because they're so tired that they're not going to, now they're not going to go do those extra activities. They're not going to go walk around. They're not going to walk their dog as far. They're not going to do these things. So, you know, it's little things, like even just laying on the couch versus sitting up on the couch. You know, you burn just a slightly less calories, you know. So, like, things like that. So, yeah, that's what NEAT is. And so when you're out there, you know, and you're sitting on a plane, obviously your NEAT is very low.
It's crap.
Yeah. So you got to make up for it by, you know, exploring town and walking around. And if you get stuck in a hotel, your NEAT gets lower, and you're going to be there for a while, so it could really add up, you know? So.
Yeah, well, I think I'm actually going to be on my feet a lot as soon as I get off the plane, because I'll be doing all these seminars and posing for a few hours.
Yeah.
So I think that's fine. But, you know, I think another thing that people don't realize is as it gets darker sooner, our NEAT also decreases, right? Because we're not up and about and walking around when it's dark out usually. Yeah. I find that, like, I'm way more active in the summer, just naturally, just from walking outside, because it's nice. For example, I will walk to Orange Theory, which is a mile walk there and a mile walk back, in the summertime, right? I'll walk there. But as it gets colder, not going to do that. No, I don't like the cold. So same thing goes for the darkness too. Like when it gets dark, you're probably less likely to be like, yeah, I'll go for a walk outside, you know? Because I just feel like when it gets dark, day's over. So, yeah, that's something to also be aware of. And I think, like, a lot of people put on a little extra weight in the winter and not necessarily change much about the routine, but they're just less active because of the daylight, you know? Less of it just means you're more inside more. And especially in the areas that get cold when you really can't step outside at all. So, you know, something to keep in mind. But if you... When you do, like, plan your travel and stuff and everything, I think it's helpful to kind of give a little extra effort the week that you're about to depart, right? So you can kind of stock up a little bit on your workouts. If you want to give a little extra effort with your cardio, maybe do a few extra workouts in the weight room. That way you kind of give yourself a little bit of a cushion or a head start, you know?
Yeah. So, I'm trying to think of anything else that maybe we're missing on the travel part of it, too. Is there anything else to think of? Like, I'm trying to think of anything that maybe on the travel part of it where we're missing.
You mean at the actual the plane ride itself?
Yeah, like the travel.
Yes, get that aisle seat, because you better be chugging that water, because you're going to be peeing.
Okay.
And I would say also compression socks, especially if you're flying internationally, because I've experienced it before, like, your ankles get so swollen, you know?
You think they help, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I heard that tip a long time ago, too, and I've heard of it helping, and I just always kind of thought it was like, wasn't sure if it was in the head or not, you know? Uh-huh. But you actually tried it versus without, and you do think it helps. Okay.
Oh, yes. Compression socks help. And obviously, if you're just flying like 2 hours, you know, to another state, it's no big deal. But like for me, I got a long flight, so I'm definitely going to put on them compression socks. I got me a freaking aisle seat. I'm going to bring a whole bunch of empty water bottles and fill them up at the fountain. How important is it to stay hydrated on a plane? And is water retention in the ankles or anywhere else kind of due to a lack of water? Or what's your thoughts on that?
You know what? I don't know how they directly correlate. I don't know that. All I know, and here's one of the things about like these like meathead bodybuilding practices, mm-hmm. right? That, and this is why I'm always like in the middle. I'm always like, well, never go full science, because the full science guys never succeed, and never go full meathead, because the full meathead guys end up hurting people. So you got to be like somewhere in the middle, right? So one of the things that I learned from them is that they say stay super, super hydrated while you're on a plane. They say get up and walk around when you're on the plane. They say wear compression socks. So I do it. And, you know, I tend to have decent results, but it's one of the things that you don't, you're never going to know for sure, you know, because I mean, who's going to really fund a study for that, right? So how are you going to ever know that for sure? So sometimes these bodybuilders, it might just be, it might, none of it might work at all. It might be just luck of the draw. But is it really going to hurt you to drink extra water and get up and walk here and there and wear compression socks? No. So might as well just try it. So all I could say is, since I've done that, I've had more, I've had less people hold water than more. You know, I still can't really solve the issue of getting to the East Coast and then instantly absorbing so much water. But yeah, but I think that's just a time thing. I think the only way we can solve that, right, is just getting there earlier and spending more time
with
there.
Anything. Yeah, yeah. And when, no matter what, if you're competing though, like if you're just going there on vacation, you don't have to. But like, yeah, if you're competing, I guess the farther away you are, or if you know you're going to a humid area, you better get there a few days early, not the day before, that's for sure. If you're going to the state next door and you have a one-hour flight, you can probably get there the day before. In fact, we've done that quite a few times. Like, oh, we're going to California. We'll just get in on Friday morning or whatever. But like you got to be prepared for that.
And I think the state of which you live makes a big difference too. Like if you live in a state that's kind of humid, then I don't think it's going to matter as much if you go to another humid state with like the water retention versus us. We lived in both times. I mean, I've been in Denver and you were always in Denver for a while. And that's a really dry state. And then you went to another and then you go to like a humid state. So it's like the same. Now we're going from ultra dry state to, you know, wherever. So I think that matters too.
But also you got to keep in mind the time change thing. That could be another thing. Even if you are going to a similar climate, if the time change is like 3 hours off or whatever, or, you know, I don't know how humid Romania is, but I know that my sleep's going to be messed up for a few days.
Yeah.
So it's nice to have a little bit of that just to kind of catch up on sleep and get more regulated with your sleeping pattern, which is something I've struggled with. I've been doing good with my sleep lately, though, but it's something I'm like, oh, let's hope I can get some normal sleep hours over there because it's just going to be – my body's not going to know what day it is. So it's going to be an interesting thing. I used to compete overseas all the time. And it's like, it's kind of fun to have like a little extra challenge along with it though. You know what I mean? Like, oh, nobody's going to Romania to compete. Psh, give it to me. I want to try. Let's do it. You know?
Yeah, that's a pretty tough challenge. If you were able to do all four, that would be pretty tough.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, just because you said that, I probably will.
Well, it's tough. That's a tough one.
Yeah.
It's to do all four and to maintain a top physique. That's going to be a tough one because of the travel. Not because if we're all in the U.S., I think it'd be very easy.
Yeah.
I don't think it'd be very easy, but it'd be easier. Easy enough for someone like you, at least. But with the travel, that's going to be tough, man. But I think you could do it. It's just going to be tough.
Yeah. It's just going to be, I think it's like, I'm afraid to be out of my element, right? I have my routine I do every day. I wake up, do cardio, I come here, I do the client check-in, like, you know what I mean? And just have then that disruption and being in a new environment and not knowing, like, oh, where am I going to work out, or when am I going to work out, or how am I going to sleep? You know, it can add an extra layer of difficulty and stress. But another thing that I am going to do, and everyone should do this as well, even if there is a gym near you or not, bring some resistance bands. If anything, you can at least get a little bit of a workout in the hotel rooms, because I suspect I will probably have to do a few hotel room workouts and they're not the same. They're not the same with the resistance band, but it's better than nothing, right? You know, even if I have to do like jumping jacks in my hotel room, I'll do it just for the heck of it. But obviously I would rather be in my environment, but you know, you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. So I'm trying to think of anything else. I think we got most of it covered, yeah?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah? Any final thoughts?
Yeah, just let us know in the comment section below what your travel hacks are. And if there's something that we didn't name on here, just let us know in the comment section and maybe you can help out somebody else.
Yeah, anyway, thank you guys so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.